Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations. Yoo-hoo! Happy Christmas. Yeah. Merry Adventine.
We're last almost there, guys. Week. Or more likely than not, by the time you listen to this, we're already there.
Yes, we wish you a happy, drunky Christmas.
We're in that most joyful time of year when you realize it's like 360 days until the next time you get to celebrate Christmas.
No, be in the moment. Okay. I'm enjoying it. It's not here quite yet.
This is true. And we are currently 2 days away as of this recording.
Yes. So number one rule is be in the moment. Number two rule is we are Catholic and you don't have to be.
Yeah.
Number three rule is we swear and use grown-up language.
Yes.
You've been warned. Mm-hmm. And related to that whole Catholic thing, we are the Catholics who just approach, rub elbows with blasphemy and heresy from time to time in our deep struggle to understand its heinous fuckery most foul.
You got a little Monty Python-ish there at the end, right? We are the Catholics who say heresy.
You've been warned. I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
cheers. Totally. Cheers to that. And cheers to Church Drunk. Welcome. We're glad you're with us. I am Dizzy, as always, with co-host Guess.
Hello.
And Guess has a whole bunch of drinky things to tell us about today.
Yeah. So today we are drinking from the greatest book. Well, let's revise this. I am drinking from the greatest book for the holidays that was just gifted to me by Diz. We know that Michael P. Foley has Drinking with the Saints, and that's like
Which we heavily reference.
Love and quote and have shared. And brand new for the holiday season now this year, we have Drinking specifically with Saint Nick by Michael P. Foley. Christmas Cocktails for Sinners and Saints.
And I think it's published this year. I think it's a new book this year by Michael P. Foley. So we're glad that he's been selling his other book well and put out a sequel. But as of yet, I can't say I'm a fan of it. Sorry, Michael.
I feel like he owes us some royalties. Well, I was just going to say, I feel like he owes us some royalties, but now you're just bagging on it.
Well, I mean, I would like still advertise for him, but let's talk about why. Okay. Let's talk about why.
So, dear listener, you may recall that last episode we started out we didn't start out with it, but we started talking about what our cocktails for the O Antiphons would be, and that was inspired by Michael P. Foley's Drinking with the Saints.
And we liked those.
And now it turns out that in the Drinking with Saint Nick, we have specifically cocktails for the O Antiphons. And since we are still 2 days away from Christmas, we are in the midst of O Antiphons. We are
beautiful.
Actually, not in the midst, we're at the end of them. So we have O Come Emmanuel is our December the 23rd O Antiphon.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made an O Come Emmanuel cocktail.
Yep.
Which is 2 ounces of vodka, 1 ounce of Genever gin or Genever gin.
Mm-hmm.
Genever sounds like Jennifer. I'm going to go with Genever.
Sounds like gin.
Which I didn't have, so we put some gin in there. But Genever gin actually is different. So I feel like we get a get out of jail free card on this one. So
you would give O Come Emmanuel another chance with a different gin.
With the right kind of gin. Because I went 2 ounces of gin, 1 ounce of regular, 2 ounces of vodka, 1 ounce of regular old gin. A teaspoon of light creme de cacao, and a splash of green chartreuse, which it just kind of gets like a little worse and worse and worse as you go through it. So vodka, gin, creme de cacao, green chartreuse. It sounds bad on paper.
Like
it is bad in the glass.
And it was so bad. None of us, Guess and I, Mrs. Guess, Mr. Diz, nobody liked this.
I am always dubious of creme de cacao in a cocktail. And this has not changed my opinion of it.
Michael P. Foley, we issue you a dubia regarding this O Come Emmanuel. You can keep this O, brother.
Keep your O. And you're supposed to garnish it with 2 cocoa nibs. But by the time that we got there, it was like, this is not garnish worthy. So what I did was I dumped a bunch of lime juice into it and made it palatable. And we'll try it again, maybe someday with the right kind of gin.
So don't make that one.
That one, O Come Emmanuel. Yeah, O Go Away Emmanuel. Rex Regum. If we go back a day in the O Antiphons to O King of Nations, we have the Rex Regum cocktail. And this one wasn't bad. So it's Canadian whiskey, 1.5 ounces of Canadian whiskey, 1/2 ounce of Drambuie, 1/4 ounce of grenadine, 1/4 ounce of lemon juice. So it's another one of those lovely pink cocktails, much like we were drinking last episode. But it's got some whiskey, some Drambuie, some grenadine, some lemon juice. That one was not your cup of tea, but it was not a universal.
It was not offensive in any way.
Mrs. Guest enjoyed it. I think she's savoring it right now as we record.
It was so, on the sweeter side, but I think it's a lovely celebratory O'Antiphon cocktail. Yes. And you can, or it's not an O'Antiphon, but a Christmas or Advent cocktail. No, it's
an O'Antiphon because yeah, the Rex Regent is for the O King of Nations. That's where they had it filed under. So there we go. There's our cocktails that we made. And then, Diz, you decided to
retreat to the safety.
Take a day off of cocktails. And so what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a lovely rosé of Pinot Noir, I'm sure.
Pinot Gris.
It was actually a Pinot Gris. Yeah. It's a pretty pink wine because that's still the celebratory coloring.
Pink wine, Joy. Not white Zinfandel.
No.
That means
no.
that you're a grown-up when you drink pink wine that's not white Zinfandel.
Cheers to that. Mm-hmm. And I'm retreating to the safety of wine, just like Jesus wanted.
Yeah, true. Yeah, he never turned water into an O Come Emmanuel cocktail, nope. That's for sure.
He's very humble, you know? He's not making his own cocktails, just wine for the party.
Okay. All right, so we have arrived at the last day or two before Christmas.
Yes.
We have completed our Advent examine, which is what we were kind of doing for the season, was doing the different steps of the examine with our Advent. We're in Love Week.
Yes, it's a short week because just a couple, like day and a half, I guess, till Christmas.
In a world that needs more love, we only get like 2 days of it.
Right, but the whole Christmas season.
Yes.
It's a season, starts on Christmas Day, goes for 12 more days.
Yeah.
Is a good season to celebrate love anyway.
So we kind of thought that maybe before taking a look ahead at what our plans are for Christmas and what Christmas means to us, we would take a look back at what the examine has been for us over the course of Advent. So,
I think we've talked about the examine kind of a lot on this podcast, which I think is just indicative of our love for it and its usefulness. I do think it's one of the most, I mean, all prayers are useful, or maybe they're not even meant to be useful, but...
Yeah.
I feel like the examine is one that is useful.
Yeah, well,
for anybody, wherever you are in your spiritual life, like you can do this and get something out of it.
And when I first learned about it, it was, you know, like not something that I had any intention of doing very much. But when I was first told or instructed to like practice it somewhat regularly when I was at a Jesuit school, it was something that I struggled with. I think I kind of expected it to be, you know, an aha, heavens opening up, hearing the voice of God kind of moment. And so I really sort of fought it. I was like, what's the big deal? I don't get why we're always supposed to do this. Like, I struggle with the steps of it. Like, it's kind of regimented. I don't know why I have to do it this way. And, you know, like, and I wrote a couple of papers for school, like, as such, like, this is not,
I know
everybody loves
really?
It, but I'm not a huge fan.
Sorry, I keep bringing you back to the examine.
Well, that's the thing though, right? It's one of those deals where even though I didn't love it, like, it still did stick in the back of my head. And it's a tool that I would pull out of the toolkit from time to time. It's something that I would try and walk others through when they were struggling, you know, in their sort of spiritual practice. I'd be like, you know, there's this thing, and it's really just meant to be like 5 minutes a day. Just to kind of set you back on track and make you realize where God is moving in those little tiny things. And having done it for Advent and having worked with it more and more, I'm starting to come around. Like, I'm starting to realize it's not a big, you know, ground shaking, you know, this is not the sacrament of reconciliation where you walk away from it feeling like, oh my gosh, I get a whole new start.
I am so clean and special and
new. It's just a check-in. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to just kind of stop yourself and check in.
Yeah, I think I'd like it because I've never done it so strictly. It seems as you have, as where you started in it. Because for me, it's always just this basic thing. And it's just like you can go through steps however you want. Mm-hmm. And the point is that you're being honest with yourself and inviting God in to be honest with you. And it's short.
Yeah.
So those are all the reasons I have always liked it. And I think it does help me to know my motivations, which are things that I can easily like breeze through in the busyness of my day. So for me, having the pause, and I usually do midday or before bed, check in just to know, like, well, why do I feel that way?
Yeah.
Why do I think that was a moment of, you know, divine presence? Or why do I feel like I messed up in that moment?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I don't always think about my own feelings or motivations. So it's just kind of like an honesty check for me. And it's not written down. I also love that it's not journaling. I think it's like mental journaling.
It is.
But it's not written down. And so I feel a lot less like judged by it. Like, I like to journal, but I don't want to be super honest in my journaling. But I'm very honest in my in my examining.
It's almost like a meditation for like super busy and or just very impatient people. You know, like people who can't
check, shark.
People who can't sit and meditate, which I'm not, I mean, yeah. there have been periods in my life where I can sit and meditate for, you know, 20, 30 minutes at a time or whatever. I've never been like an hour long meditator. But like this is 5 minutes to just reorient yourself, recheck in. And, but it is, if you do it sort of in a thoughtful way, in a mindful way, it can be an interruption in your day. That's a very welcome moment of calm and zen. So that's been a good thing. And I think, it, you know, like when you take that and you put it into the context of how we've done it, which is like week by week, each step checking in on Advent, it has been a very busy Advent season, you know, for me personally, mm-hmm. and for you as well, and just kind of for the world, you know, like the headlines are literally changing like hour by hour.
So much happening.
And there's so much going on. And when I was thinking about what has the examine been able to do for me over the course of Advent, the way that we've done it, it really made me keep working at Advent. I think this would have been one of those years where like the practice of preparation probably would have gotten thrown out the window, and it would have been like, what do I have to do right now? Like, what's in front of me? What do I have to wrap, or what do I have to buy, or what do I have to, you know, I would have gotten caught up in all that. But by sitting down for, you know, half hour, 45 minutes every week to say, okay, what step are we in the examine? And when we look back and when we look at the church and when we look at how God's moving in our lives, it just kind of made me like continue the work, even though it wasn't necessarily like firing on all cylinders for me, you know, but like it gave me the structure that I needed to be able to say, okay, there's a bigger picture going on.
It definitely helps you to put things into a framework of spirituality, I think, to keep it in that. I felt that as well this Advent, and especially because we were being a little more intentional in our writing back and forth this year, that I think helped me as well to keep with those weekly themes and with the examine. So
So I think it helped to provide a little bit of structure in a very, very chaotic year of Advent.
Yeah, we're looking for some structure in our world, in our lives. We have somebody who wants to be the Rex Regem and is not, and that's a nice meditation to think about. Who is the Rex Regem? It is the poor Jesus who enters as a little refugee baby.
Never mind structure. I would even just, you know, at this point, functionality would suffice. You know, like, oh, I don't know, a government that works instead of shutting down would be really nice to have sometimes.
Is that your Christmas wish?
That is my Christmas wish.
Okay, that's your Christmas wish. Yeah. Not too much to ask, probably.
A government that doesn't continue to just
stop working. Maybe if the same people were in charge of a couple big sections of the government, they could keep it working. Yep. Oh, Wait a minute. Anyway. Yeah. Well, hey, everybody take a drink. Let's all just take a drink and a breath.
Breathe.
Push reset, because we're going to stay in the moment, which is Christmas prep. Guest took his drink, I'm taking mine, and next we're going to talk about Pope Hope.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about Pope Hope, because Pope Francis has stepped up. So looking ahead at the sort of promise and light and goodness of Christmas time.
Right.
But also kind of like...
kind of referring back to something we started at the beginning of Advent.
Yeah, and this is that time of year, right? I feel like, you know, the 20th through about the 23rd, is a window where everybody's trying to wrap things up and say, you're not going to hear from me for, you know, sometimes just a couple of days, but sometimes it's a couple of weeks before, like, you know, like world leaders and you know, even like sports teams, like, you know, like the NHL shuts down for 3 days and they're like, we're just going to celebrate Christmas. Like, we're just going to, you know, like, so there's everybody's kind of trying to like take care of their final business and then be able to just do Christmas. Yeah. And I feel like that's what the Pope has done here, to be like, hey, this might be the last word you hear from me for a little while. Before we go into this major feast and celebration. And the last word is clean that shit up.
You bet. You guys are on fucking notes. Have a great Christmas. New Year's coming.
Totally.
So at the beginning of Advent, we started in darkness and we started with like, what's wrong with the church? And we wanted to be very real here on Church Drunk about the darkness and the evil of the sex abuse and the clerical issues that we've seen worldwide and in our country, especially. And so Pope Francis, just a couple days ago on the 21st, used his annual address to the Roman Curia. So that means they're all sitting there.
Yep.
And the reporter from a Catholic news agency says that he was kind of like shaking and reading a prepared speech, which is not typical for Pope Francis. He's a comfortable speaker and really speaks from the heart. But this one he wrote out. And it's 40 minutes long, so it's quite long. But there's
and
one.
And Dizzy's going to recite it all for us now.
Here we go. No.
Minute one.
Welcome to Church Drunk and Accounting. No, this is just the quote, because he said in general, because we were hoping for this February meeting that there would be a big announcement about a worldwide policy and some real house cleaning with the clerical sex abuse. And he continued that that would happen and that that we would, as a church, be repairing our past mistake and fully cooperating and doing everything we really can.
Right.
And then he spoke to abusive clergy directly, telling them to prepare to face justice. And this is a quote from Francis. "To those who abuse minors, I would say this. Convert and hand yourself over to human justice and prepare for divine justice." And there, the quote goes on, but I thought that was very strongly worded, much stronger than we've seen in that setting from anybody at all.
Yeah.
Of course, the proof will still be in the pudding of what are the policies, but this is a good sign.
Yeah.
And I will take that as a little shining light in our Christmas darkness of him saying, like, I really mean this, and it's really happening.
It's Pope Frankie kind of being like, okay, we're about to have a large moment where you can turn your heart back to God.
Mm-hmm.
I would advise that you do that, and I'll see you all in a few days, and then, like, drop the mic and walk away and open some presents. You know, like, that is kind of...
There will be justice.
Does the Pope open presents?
I don't know.
Right? Like, that is something I
I'm
never...
I'm sure he actually, the Pope receives a lot of gifts. I'm sure lots of people and groups send him things, and he's got family.
He must, yeah.
Yeah, I think the Pope does get presents.
Yeah.
And you know what the present he would most like? Is all the clerics to stop everybody else.
Buggering the altar boys. Yes.
Okay.
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay. So there's a little Pope.
Yep.
And we said that maybe once we kind of... reoriented ourselves back towards looking ahead, that little ray of light and the goodness. Maybe we could talk about what's the one thing that makes Christmas Christmas for you, and have you done it yet, and are you really ready for this grand celebration? Do you have anything where you're like, it's not Christmas until this thing happens?
I think just all of my family in one place, because I do have family that's kind of spread out, some of my siblings. And so... one of my siblings is getting to town tomorrow, and I'm like, that will be Christmas.
That'll be Christmas time.
Yes, when we're all together. So shout out to the one who listens. She knows who she is.
Yeah.
A drink, a toast. That will be Christmas for me.
Nice.
How about you?
Yeah, certainly, like, the whole family together will be a big thing. Although this year I won't see, for the first time, not ever, but in many years, I won't see, like, aunts, uncles, cousins, all that kind of stuff on Christmas or in the immediate aftermath. Although some will be here because little baby Guess is going to have the stain of original sin wiped off of him on December 26th. So some family will be coming town for that. But I'm not going to.
He's been a little dirty pagan baby for quite some time, everyone.
So I'll see him for that, but that won't be a Christmas celebration. And, and you know, a day or two after that, there will be a true Christmas celebration where the whole family will be there. But I'm going to be with Mrs. Guess's family in a lovely little ski vacation that we're all going to do together.
Nice.
So that'll be fun. So I'm going to miss some parts of that family being together. But for me, in addition to the whole family stuff, which is certainly, you know, the main thing, every year I read, usually on Christmas Eve, sometimes it's a night or two before, depending on how it all plays out. I read The Polar Express by the light of the tree.
Oh my
gosh. I do. I read it.
It's so literary, adorable.
And so I sit and I read The Polar Express, and that means, like, it's officially going to happen. Christmas is here.
Aww,
so
that's
might have to do
awesome.
It tonight, maybe tomorrow night. Probably sit with little baby Guess, his first reading of The Polar Express.
Aww,
so
that's really great.
Yeah.
And I do feel like I advented well this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of the Christmas sweetness for me, is why I do feel ready for it, because I wasn't super rushed spiritually. Like, I do feel well advented.
Yeah, it was work. Like, there was work this year for Advent.
Yeah, well, like,
for spiritual kind of growth.
You know, they say, like, you didn't do Advent right if you're, like, already tired of Christmas when it arrives. And I am not tired of Christmas.
Yeah.
I am not Christmased yet. I have advented the fuck out of these months, but I am ready for Christmas.
Yeah. No, I feel like there's something about the timing of it, you know, and I don't know if it's just external mechanisms, but, you know, when Thanksgiving comes early, which it did this year, and that makes it feel like Christmas comes late, and you can definitely get, like, Christmas exhaustion.
Yeah.
But this year, I don't feel that. I feel like it's just kind of been one, like, distraction after another, but in the background there has been this Advent preparation, which, like I said, like, it's good that
we knew where
there
we were,
structure to keep that there. So
okay, cool,
excellent.
So to kind of round off our love week slash Christmas podcast episode today, we have a game.
Yeah.
We got some quiz drink coasters.
It's gift number two from Dizzy to guests. In addition to our Drinking with St. Nick book, we also have some quiz drink coasters in preparation for everybody's pub quiz, whatever they need.
And I just noticed they're liturgically colored because they are white and gold, which is the Christmas colors. I didn't even think about that until right now. Nice.
All right. There's three on each coaster. Mm-hmm. Are we going to go one person all the way through and then the other person goes? Or you want to alternate questions?
Let's Can we do two questions?
Two questions. Okay.
Two questions each.
Read me one of your favorites.
And we'll go back and forth.
Perfect.
This is I'll just read it to you. Number one.
Number one.
What is produced in a ginnery?
A ginnery?
Mm-hmm. G-I-N-N-E-R-Y.
Now, my heart says booze.
Me too.
But my brain says that's impossible. That's right. Too easy. So I'm going to go with cotton on account of the cotton gin.
1 point for guess.
Woo!
You had the exact thought pattern that I hoped, except I hoped you got it wrong. But you got it right.
Yeah.
Good job.
There we go. The cotton gin. Eli, somebody or other in the cotton gin.
He's famous for that.
Seventh grade history class.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all I can think of is...
It's Eli somebody.
Yeah. Anyway, so
I wish it was gin. Yeah,
I wish it was. Yeah, it would be nice if they made it. That's what we would call it.
The ginnery. The ginnery.
Let's go to the ginnery.
Get thee to the ginnery.
We Catholics who say
ginnery.
Okay. Let's see. Well, then I'll do my non-boozy one first, since you did your boozy one first. Apart from our own sun, which is the nearest star to Earth? Good luck with that.
Is it like Nebula 2 or something?
No. Okay. I'll give you the first word. The first word...
is it based on a Greek god?
Means close to...
is it Helios?
Based on Greek mythology.
Okay.
And the first word means close, and then the second one is from Greek mythology.
What's the second one mythology like? Is it...
It's got a body of a man and the head of a...
I don't know. This one's like circa something.
I think, if I remember correctly, again from my seventh grade mythology class, lives in the center of the labyrinth.
Oh my gosh, this is like, I should know this, but I do not.
Sure. The centaur.
The centaur.
Does he live in the center of the labyrinth?
No.
I think he does. No.
Does he? I don't know.
All right.
The centaur, that was, I should have known. I mean,
Proxima,
I know what centaurs.
Proxima Centauri.
Proxima Centauri. Yeah. Well, now we know.
Where is our astronomy teacher when we need him?
Damn.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, you would know the science question on here. I gave you easy ones, but let's see. I'm going to do your three questions then, because the last one's kind of sad, but good. Which gas makes up most of the Earth's atmosphere?
Oh, Christ. I should know this.
I was going to say, you should know this. As much as I should know what a centaur is, you should know what this one is.
Hydrogen.
No. It's nitrogen.
Nitrogen.
Bubbles.
I almost said nitrogen.
Yeah, you should have. All right. Well, good. Now we're...
All right.
Even it up. Go ahead. Keep going.
Let's
just do them.
Which country does Carlsberg beer originate from?
Germany? Austria?
Keep going.
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
Switzerland.
If you're in the right continent.
Switzerland.
No. Carlsberg.
France? It would be Charlesburg. Not doing well here. He's going to tell
north.
Me. No.
Keep going north.
Denmark.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Denmark. Carlsberg.
Which European country has the world's highest rate of gun ownership but almost no firearms crime?
Norway.
Nope.
Is it Scandinavian?
Yeah, kind of.
Finland?
Well, no, it's not Scandinavian.
Oh, it's
but
not
it's like up there.
Denmark.
No. They're always...
The highest rate, like, per capita? Because there's not very many people in Iceland.
It's a small capita.
Luxembourg.
They make some watches.
Switzerland?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay, well...
All right. Well, I thought we were only doing two.
I wanted a third one now.
My third one's kind of bunk. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Which pop artist recorded the album True Blue that topped the charts in 28 countries in 1986?
What the fuck?
So specific.
Never know any of these
though.
Questions.
Like, I didn't... Oh, wow. Okay.
True Blue,
it's a name you definitely know. True Blue. I did not know that this was an album from this person. 1986.
Person.
Think about the top... pop artists of the 80s.
Michael Jackson.
And we know that it's not him, because True Blue is not Michael Jackson. But who else? Okay, so
Madonna?
Madonna. Yeah. I was going to say, I would put this one at number two on that 80s list.
Cool. Well, you know what? We hope you enjoy some cocktailing and wine-ing of the drinking kind. And
probably some of the other kind during the holidays.
You drink the one kind to deal with the other kind. So imbibe.
Yeah.
And let us know. What's your Advent ending into Christmas marker?
And we hope that it's been a good Advent. We hope that it's been worthwhile to either listen along or listen to one or two along the way or just listen to this one.
Yeah, and actually, since it's our last one, we should say if you like Church Drunk, please share it with a friend.
Yeah,
you can
totally.
Subscribe on Apple Music or wherever you get your podcasts and email us at churchdrunk@gmail.com.
Tweet us at churchdrunkpod. And we hope that you have a very, very Merry Christmas and that you have some time to rest and relax and rejoice and do all
and
that
read.
Good stuff. And read. All right, guys. Well, we will catch you next time after our brief Christmas break?
Who knows?
Here on Church Drunk, where O Come, O Come, Emmanuel turns into O Go Away hangover that is induced by this cocktail.
Here, here,
Amen.
And cheers. Amen.